I'm Leo Brown. Welcome to the Cathavist podcast. Cathavist, a word essentially meaning universally active, right? It's kind of like that concept of faith without works is dead. I want us to work diligently in our faith with what we believe. What do you believe? What do you believe? Does it ideally spur you to a greater good? Because this is my, I heard a homily the other day from one of my favorite priests, and he was basically talking about a motto or a mission, like a life mission statement. Can you find that thing which is what you focus on, and this is what it is that you basically make all of your decisions around? And honestly, I've been shaping this for a long time, but I think I've really kind of honed it more now to basically three things that I'm most concerned about, primarily, and I think most importantly, human dignity, because I think that's kind of all encompassing. That's my first area of examination. Outside of that, it comes to social responsibility, followed by the common good. Now, I know that's not a real mission statement, but that's how I measure what it is that I do and when I do it. Is this dignified for others? Is this dignified for myself? Is what I promote and what I involve myself in and where I spend my attention and energy dignified? If it is, great. Is it socially responsible? Is what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I'm promoting, actually on a societal level being responsible? Or am I doing something irresponsible? I have to ask myself that. And then finally, does this promote the common good? Does it contribute to the common good? Now, much like the Ten Commandments can stop after I am the Lord your God, have no other gods before me, you really don't need the other nine if you get that one right. Essentially, if I get human dignity right, it's going to encompass social responsibility and it's going to encompass common good. But nonetheless, I want to look at this spectrum and say, okay, what am I really getting behind here? And how do I do it effectively? And my Catholic faith has formed that conscience, right? That conscience of these are the things that are important, has they've been galvanized through my faith. I would say that they were important to me even before becoming Catholic, but understanding the position of the Catholic Church as she has stood on these issues throughout the centuries makes a huge difference. It's a huge fulcrum. It's a leverage point that says, okay, this is why all of this stuff makes the most sense. I can back it all up. So I say all of this to say, because I heard this morning as I was listening, as I often do, to NPR, and I heard an interview with a handful of Roy Moore supporters the election today as I record this podcast. And essentially, they're all single-issue voters. No surprise. They seem to even be struggling with their own decision with this particular guy that they don't know really if they can trust or not. There seems to be some dubious at best allegations, questionable behavior in this guy's past, and a lot of interesting things that have been said during this election that they are now at the point of feeling like they have to do the old hold your nose, push the button thing, because he's pro-life, right? If he says he's pro-life, and the other guy says he's supports a woman's right to choose, well, it's cut and dry. And I think we've done ourselves a horrible disservice. And I don't know where this started. I really don't know where it started. But I think it's time to change the rhetoric. We've got to take this back. We, especially Catholics, but we who are reasonable individuals who are guided by principle, we got to start using a different language here. And what I think we've got to do is agree with those who say they're against abortion. Sure, I agree with you. But let's talk about human dignity. Let's talk about why you're against abortion. We've got to start using, quite honestly, the technique that we used by St. Patrick when he visited Ireland after he was enslaved there, went back, and then began working with the Druids to kind of get them to an understanding of what their faith really meant. This is why we have the Celtic cross. This is why we have the superimposed image of the cross over the sun, because he basically said, you know, it's great. It's great. Druids, Druid people, I love you. You're doing a great job of worshiping, but let's talk about who this God really is. I believe it's time for us to do the same thing in a very similar fashion when it comes to those who are single-issue voters on the issue of abortion. And we need to say, you know what? It's great that you have the attitude that you have and that you appreciate and you value life so much that you're willing to go out there and put your vote into the ballot box for a candidate that you believe is going to uphold that. That's great. But I got to ask you this. Why are you pro-life? What are the convictions that brought you to that point? And it's kind of like the questions that, and not that I do this, I don't do this to stump anyone or to make someone question their faith, but when somebody is so adamant on anti-Catholicism, which we find, then I've got to ask some questions. I'm always going to ask some questions. Oh, wow, it's interesting. So you're a Bible only person then. You believe everything from your faith comes from the Bible. Okay, I applaud that. That's great that you love your scripture so much. So just let me ask you this. Where did we get that Bible? Right? And that silence is generally what I get. I have never had someone who is vehemently anti-Catholic and critical of me for being a Catholic ever be able to answer that question for me. Never. Because they don't know. They don't know. They know scripture. They could quote chapter verse all day, and they want to stand on that and unfortunately use it as a club against me to bash me in the head and say that I'm with the whore of Babylon and the Pope is the Antichrist and you name it. But when it comes right down to simple, just a simple question, this should be pretty simple to answer if you believe so, if it's such a hinge issue, right? For you to connect in that fashion of staking my boat and my life on this, then you should be able to define it a little bit. So I think what we have to do is applaud. Sure, I'll applaud any believer who stands on scripture, but now let's find out where it comes from. So let's do the same thing with those. Hey, are you a values voter? Quote unquote values voter. Do you believe in the protection of the life of the unborn? Great. Why? And I've heard, I'll ask that question, and I've heard some pretty bizarre answers. And really, for me, unsatisfactory answers, right? And I'm like, that doesn't cut it for me. And it's one of the reasons why I've stepped out officially of the quote-unquote pro-life movement. I was a supporter of pro-life causes, pro-life legislation, even to the point of attending the marches in D.C. a number of times, very passionately pro-life. But I don't think it is adequate anymore. I don't think that definition is adequate. Certainly not for me, embracing human dignity. Bigger, broader. Yes, abortion is one of many issues. It may have a primacy, of course. It's kind of like what I say if you read my companion blog to this podcast. I say, look, you know, it's forest and trees here. Yeah, you can't have a forest without trees. I get it. But if you're going to cut down the rest of the forest to protect the white pine sapling, and you're willing just to take the chainsaw to the oaks, what have you done? And I feel that this is where we are in this just blind, myopic view of this single issue. We don't see the bigger, broader picture. wherein if we could, I think that we would have real impact. I believe that we would have a real opportunity. But I guess at the same time, there's opportunity because people believe it, and there's enough that believe that single issue that they'll get behind. They'll bandwagon this thing, and they'll blindly support it regardless. I get that. I know. So if we're looking for sheer numbers, you're probably going to garner enough support to maybe even win an election. We've seen that happen. Whether it was a single issue of abortion or just Christian support for a candidate, whatever, right? I mean, you can find that evidence. But at the same time, if we want to be reasonable and we want to have something to stand on and we want to be able to have a logos, an ethos, and a pathos to our argument, right? If we want to be able to put all of this together, we're often pretty good at the pathos, right? We're good at the emotional appeal of being able to connect in a way that says, you know, this is what we believe in, whatever. And then maybe even to the ethos of like, this is why, this is the ethical reason why, this is what we have to support this because of this. And we can kind of connect those dots pretty well. My goodness, get to the logos. We the wheels come off. Where's the logic there? We generally can't back it up. So I think those of us who, and I hate to say get it, because I don't like that, that implies an immediate superiority, and I'm not saying I'm superior to anyone. I know that even those who disagree with me are probably much more along the path on other things than I am, and I get that. Believe me, I make discoveries every day, and I'm like, where did this come from? How did this happen? How did I find this out? Why am I just now seeing this, right? Constantly. That happens to me where I'm like, wow, I'm blown away. I'm like, what? Where's this been all my life? Right? I mean, that happens. So it's not really for those who, quote unquote, get it opposed to those who don't. It's really more about those who are aware of this enough. Right? Let's put it that way. If we're aware of this enough to say, let's begin to change the rhetoric. Let's talk human dignity, right? For years, I was bent, and obviously it didn't work because the book was written back in the 90s and nobody cared then, but maybe it's not as sexy of an appeal to be pro-life, pro-woman, right? Let's talk about the woman in this equation, and maybe we can win hearts that way. I say, let's pull it back even further. Let's pull the focus back to humanity. Yes, women are included in that, of course. Unborn are included in that. But let's be good humanists. That's what I always say. If we can do that. Because Jesus is pretty clear. What are the two greatest commandments? Pretty darn simple. Love God, love others. How do we show we love God? Through loving others. It's essentially what he's saying. Love others as you would love yourself. Right? This is how we show it. We don't necessarily show that we love God by worshiping him. Or singing songs, or even going to mass, or church, or wherever, whatever. No, we show our love for God with the way we treat others. And if we could pull this focus back to say, is this dignified to all humanity, including the unborn? Yes, I'm going to support you in that. I'm not opposing you on your pro-life position. I'm not. I'm simply saying your single issue is a single issue that's broader than what you think. Because if you're truly pro-life, you have to be pro-human. You have to be. You can't just be pro-unborn. You can't do that. Then you're not truly pro-life. You're just anti-abortion. If that's the case, that's another argument. Then put your position into the right categorization. But let's make sense in what we're talking about, right? Let's have that balance of the ethos, the pathos, the logos. Let's be able to speak convincingly about these issues to the point that, yeah, maybe we could. Maybe we could begin to turn a tide. I think we can. I'm crazy enough to think that. I'm crazy enough to think that doing this effectively with the right language and the right attitude about it, we can make a change where I don't have to tune into NPR next election and hear people lamenting that they don't have a choice, but they got to make a choice because they've got one candidate who's pro-life. Right? That's crazy. Sit it out, if that's where you feel. That's what I talk about in the blog. Sit it out. There's no moral obligation to cast that vote for somebody that you don't believe in. Why would you do that? It's going against the very ethic that you supposedly support and promote as a quote-unquote values voter, believing individual, Christian, whatever, right? So, I implore you, I exhort you, right? Not extort, that's a different thing. Not trying to extort anyone. Exhortation is what I want to present here, and that is, let's try to do this better, right? Let's do this better so we don't have to always have these kind of discussions. Maybe eventually we could say, yeah, you know what? Humans are pretty darn important. Humans are. Whether they're baby humans, unborn humans, the elderly human, the human on death row, the human who's an addict, the human who's a prostitute, the human who is struggling to get by, the human who is cheating their way through life, whatever. We're all important. Because we are created in the image and likeness of God, and we deserve dignity. Thank you for listening. I'm Leo Brown. This is the Cathavist Podcast on Breadbox Media.